Agricultural programming on WILL is made possible in part by a grant from Risk Management Commodities, with offices in Chalmers and Lafayette, Indiana, and Hudsonville, Illinois. Risk Management Commodities provides commodities analysis and recommendations for business and agriculture throughout East Central Illinois and Western Indiana. For more information, call 866-837-9027.
Welcome to the Closing Market Report. It's February the 14th, Valentine's Day. I'm Todd Gleason. In a few moments, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Wayne Nelson of L&M Commodities in New Market, Indiana. In agricultural news, U.S. export tax subsidies have been ruled illegal by the WTO. So close, yet so very far, it seems, for the lock and dam upgrades on the upper Mississippi and Illinois rivers. The president's FY07 budget has money for maintenance, but nothing for new construction. Meanwhile, Bill Frist is stirring the immigration debate on Capitol Hill. You just heard a story about spending money on agricultural exports. Frist wants to open up the U.S. border, too, but this one's not about outgoing products. It's about the workforce U.S. agriculture believes is needed to bring in that harvest. Dave Dickey will have details of these and other stories shortly. Also this half hour, we'll hear from U of I Ag economist Daryl Wood. He has some thoughts on when to pull the trigger on new crop sales. And if you've been looking for some blueprints to put up a new building on your farm, well, the Midwest Plan Service website might just be the place to visit online. And then, just after the bottom of the hour, meteorologist Don Day will join us for a look at the agricultural weather forecast. Stay with us, won't you, for this Tuesday edition of WILL AM 580's Closing Market Report.
The Closing Market Report is made possible by AgriGold Hybrids, funding agricultural programming on AM 580 as an additional service to the many AgriGold customers in the AM 580 listening area. AgriGold, the corn specialists, on the web at a6395.com and at agrigold.com.
In Kansas City on this Tuesday afternoon, March wheat settled at $4.13. It was off two. From Chicago, the March wheat at $3.47 and a quarter. Was down three quarters. May contract there, penny and a half lower for the soft red winter wheat at 358 and one half. Corn pit now, March contract, 218 and three quarters, off two today. The May futures, two and a quarter lower, $2.29 the settlement price. And July futures at $2.38. We're down a penny and three quarters. December corn, 256 and a quarter, off a quarter today. Or rather, down three quarters today. March soybeans now at 583 and a quarter, down one. May futures at 596, we're down a penny and three quarters. And July contract at 606 and a quarter, down three quarters. November beans, 615 and three quarters, down 3.5 cents. Bean meal, March contract, 182.50, down a quarter. March bean oil, down 18 at 2204. From the Mercantile Exchange, feeder cattle settled at 108.70 in the March contract, up 65 today. February live cattle unchanged at $91.47.5 a hundredweight. And the Feb lean hogs at $58.92.5 finished the day a nickel higher.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Joining us on this Tuesday of Valentine's afternoon is Wayne Nelson of L&M Commodities out of New Market, Indiana. You got everything settled for a beautiful evening with your wife tonight, Wayne?
Well, of course, Todd. We were looking forward to another good Valentine's Day together, another good year of marriage.
You betcha. Me too. I got picked up some strawberries dipped in chocolate from Bevere Hall on campus, and I'm hoping that'll do the trick for the evening. We'll see what else. McLaren's birthday was recently, too, so I'm hopeful that everything will go okay. I think it should. Now, on the other hand, at the Board of Trade, it looked to me like, according to some of the wire reports, things weren't going as well as I'm hopeful tonight will. The market turned a little bit lower. And part of that said to be on a lack of fund buying. Is that what you heard as well?
Oh, there was a lack of fund buying, Todd. They were actually a little more on the sell side today. We saw they were slightly lower. Kansas City wheat was a little bit lower. The talk of the larger Australian crop size and Iraq still hanging out there, not telling us whether they're going to buy wheat, not buy wheat, and jerking around a little bit. So it's just sort of like the war. It seems to go on and on forever. The funds were sellers of corn today. But there's a large open interest in the March corn that way. The funds were up to about 6,000 corn sold about 1230 on the player sheet, Todd. So that way, they only sold about 500 beans at that time. But the oil on the report this morning, we saw the oil stocks go up in about 1,000 contracts oil sold by the funds today. So a little more pressure there, a little more unwinding of wheat spreads. The wheat bean spread, the wheat corn spread, and all that, some profit taking going on today, but no large fund buying.
You know, it seems to me that the Iraq story is a little odd one, that it continues to play out as much as it has. Is it just that there's a lack of any other sort of fresh fundamental news to trade off of?
Well, I don't know. Number one, I haven't decided why they should even be bidding on things. They owe us so much of everything, there shouldn't even be a question. But number two, I think it's just something to throw out there at us that way. I think, you know, actually of more importance to me reading the Wire today was that, you know, the Australian Wheat Board raising their estimate of what their crop's going to be, and that they're going to be more aggressive or have to be a little more aggressive selling some wheat that puts more out in the world market, actually. Because whether we sell it to them or whoever sells Iraq the wheat, what they're talking about buying should come out of the world market, and that's what we're talking about.
Now, you're not only a broker, you're a crop insurance agent. What have producers you deal with been asking you about crop insurance at this point?
Well, I think, you know, one of the good things is this little rally has happened early enough, and instead of just the last few days for a couple of the types of insurance of February, it's the whole month average, so we're going to have a little better prices. You know, to insure for this year, the guarantees are going to be just a little bit better. I think that a lot of people want to know if GRIP is going to pay from last year. And, of course, we don't know. That the government doesn't announce those things until after the sales closing date, unfortunately. But I think that we have a lot of people that are concerned and are looking at buying the RA insurance because there is no limit to how much the coverage can go up. We're on the CRC, there's a $1.50 limit on the beans. If we would happen to have that so-called possible drought from La Nina, if we would happen to have the drought in the corn, that could go up more. So, you know, that's one of the things I guess we're looking at, unless there's a large difference, why we're going to say the RA policy is probably going to be the one we would favor for those that want to insure their own crop. And, you know, and of course, then the group policies work well for many people, but that's not really insurance. That's more playing the odds.
You happen to mention that the insurance is based off the whole month average for all of the risk insurance premiums now, I believe. Last year, only two of them came across as the whole month, and the others were set off, what, the last 5 days or thereabouts?
Last 5 days of the month, so we couldn't even really have a good idea until just 15 days before closing date, and that was awful hard a lot of times to get around to everybody and be able to give them an accurate rate to what they could be having.
Do you urge producers to get in and, for instance, take a look at the FarmDoc website and have an idea before they come in just exactly what they want to do? I mean, I guess from your standpoint, I would think from March 1st or thereabouts to March 15th has to be awfully busy trying to get everybody squared away and what their insurance is going to look like.
Well, we sure hope it is, Todd. And you know, that's one of those things we hope we're busy as the dickens. The FarmDoc website for insurance is tremendous. We put on a meeting the other day, and I hooked up to the link that you had to help me run some examples from the FarmDoc website that you can punch in your own numbers and really look at things there. It's a tremendous tool, and we'd encourage everybody to use that. It doesn't make us look quite as smart when they can look at themselves that way, I guess. But, you know, all in all, if you want to be prepared, run through the FarmDoc website there, and it's a wonderful job.
It's a heck of a resource. That address is a little easier to remember, in fact, than our WILL web address. So I'll just get the FarmDoc website directly here. It's www.farmdoc, that's FARMDOC. Just sound like it sounds, all one word, and then UIUC.edu, the University of Illinois Urbana-Champaign.education. So it's farmdoc.uiuc.edu. What are you telling producers about new crop sales for both corn and soybeans?
Well, you know, we haven't, we liked scaling into things. We're sitting on our hedges here now. We haven't pushed any more. You know, after, you know, we did push a few more sales up at the 260 level on the corn, and we're sitting back here now. You know, I do know that there are some of the major people that did buy some 250 corn calls, paid like over 28 cents for them. We did not do that on what we've done here so far. We don't feel that it's time to be protecting these. Our protection is going to be with crop insurance. for that. But the levels we're at, why we're not covering anything with calls yet, Todd.
Wayne, thanks much for joining us today. We appreciate it.
Good Valentine's to you and Clarion.
You too. Thank you. Bye-bye. Wayne Nelson of L&M Commodities out of New Market, Indiana, joins us here on the Closing Market Report. Happens on Tuesday afternoons.
Today's broadcast is made possible with support from First Midwest Bank, serving the banking needs of Illinois' agricultural community with locations in Champaign, Danville, Galesburg, Morris, and McHenry. More information is available from Mike Morris in McHenry at 815-344-7213. First Midwest Bank, member FDIC, an equal housing lender.
Well, at the bottom of the hour, meteorologist Don Day of Day Weather in Cheyenne, Wyoming, should join us for a look at the agricultural weather. AM 580's own Ed Kieser forecast across the two-state region tonight calls for partly cloudy skies. Lows, he says, will range from 25 in far northwestern Illinois to near 40 in the south. Tomorrow, he says, in the north, partly sunny skies. In central sections, increasing cloudiness. Some scattered showers arriving during the afternoon in the south. Ed says it'll be mostly cloudy. With scattered showers, highs will range from 35 in the far northwestern part of Illinois tomorrow, with highs near 60 in the far south.
Agricultural programming on WILL is made possible by Farm Credit Services of Illinois. Farm Credit Services of Illinois has been providing for farmers' credit and insurance needs for over 85 years, including real estate, operating and machinery loans, crop and life insurance protection, and programs for young and beginning farmers. The Carle Center for Rural Health and Farm Safety, a division of Carle Foundation Hospital, is proud to underwrite agricultural programming at WILL. The center helps residents of rural communities with education and training in farm safety. For more information, call 217-383-4606.
Well, as a general rule of thumb, University of Illinois Extension agroeconomist Darrell Good believes farmers should make new crop grain sales in the months preceding harvest. As you'll hear, he's amended that just a bit for this season. Statistical work tells the ag economist at the University of Illinois there are about 15 months in which a farmer has the best opportunity to sell a corn or a bean crop. Oftentimes, the best sales opportunities come just as the planting season kicks off through about mid-July. Today, there are many advisory services gearing producers up to sell all of this year's crop very soon, and even part of crops 2 and 3 years out. U of I Extension's Darrell Good is a bit more cautious.
Well, I think that we have to be pretty cautious here, recognizing that that we do have this huge speculative demand out here that can give us even stronger prices if there is a strong indication that we're going to have some trouble this growing season. So I don't want to get too carried away. But on the other hand, in the way I calculate it, the market is already trading a pretty sharp decline in production next year. Next year's corn market is basically offering a $2.50 average cash price. That's a pretty small crop built into that price. Soybeans, $6 or better for a marketing year average. Again, with the $500 million-plus carryover, that has a pretty small crop built into it. But things seem to be out of whack a little bit. February is a little early to be thinking about pricing in most years. Is the market giving us an early opportunity, or is the market just beginning and we'll see better opportunities even into the planning period? Right now, I think you have to kind of let the speculators have their head and anticipate that we could get a pretty good run-up even from these price levels on any continued dryness into planting time. So, yes, I think you have to reward the market, but maybe not get too carried away in terms of amount at this point.
That was University of Illinois Extension Ag economist Darrell Good on pricing new crop corn and soybeans in the face of large speculative demand. Dave Dickey's here now to take a look at what's happening in the world of agricultural news.
In agricultural news, an appellate body at the World Trade Organization Monday ruled export tax subsidies the U.S. has been paying to local companies are illegal. The Geneva-based trade body ruled last October changes in U.S. law did not go far enough to end a system of tax breaks to U.S. exporters, but the U.S. government appealed that ruling. European Trade Chief Peter Mandelson warned the U.S. government he will relaunch trade sanctions if Washington does not change its tax break regime within 3 months. Meanwhile, negotiators at the World Trade Organization Agriculture Talks Monday in Geneva continue to focus on their differences rather than concentrate on positions that could lead to a detailed framework agreement by the end of April. Negotiators this week could take up numerical questions such as the formulas for cutting trade-distorting domestic subsidies and for cutting tariff formulas. The president's fiscal year 2007 budget request contains $27 million to maintain locks and dams on the upper Mississippi and Illinois rivers, but no money for upgrades. Congressional passage of the Water Resources Development Act would authorize $1.7 billion for lock upgrades and replacements. The measure passed in the House but is bottled up in the Senate. Lisa Kelly is director of public policy for the National Corn Growers Association. Kelly says President Bush is being short-sighted with a $27 million projection.
It seems to me like a short-sighted, penny-pinching method of saving federal dollars, but in the end, what we've seen with other catastrophes such as Katrina, that if we don't take care of our inland waterways, we truly will end up spending more money. Putting a patch or trying to temporarily repair some of the damage and just wear and tear on these locks is not going to get us 50 years into the future.
Kelly called for the Senate to take up floor debate on WERDA as soon as possible. Meanwhile, the immigration debate may be heating up in the Senate. Jonna Miller is with the American Farm Bureau Federation, and she has this report.
Senate Majority Leader Bill Frist has announced that he wants a Senate vote on immigration reform in late March. He's asked the Judiciary Committee to come up with a bill to vote on.
It's going to be absolutely critical to get people to focus on the importance of this issue to agriculture.
American Farm Bureau immigration specialist Paul Schlegel says farmers and ranchers favor border security, but that doesn't just mean closing off the border to a vital workforce.
We want to see an effective guest worker program that allows individuals currently working in agriculture who can prove they've worked, who have not been violators of the law, given the opportunity to regularize their status.
Schlegel says many seem to be ignoring the economic impact to agriculture and other industries if the guest worker issue isn't resolved.
If we don't deal with it correctly, we could lose between $5 and $9 billion of wealth every year, and we don't want to see that happen.
Jonna Miller, Washington.
A University of Tennessee agricultural economist says federal budget pressures could force significant changes to the next farm bill. Daryl Ray says Congress may target for elimination or modification programs from the last two farm bills.
In 1996, while there were a lot of features of previous legislation that were essentially eliminated, they made some changes in the way the loan rate works and that kind of thing. 2002 came along, and we decided to kind of institutionalize the emergency payments by adding another feature, which was very similar to the deficiency payment program we had before, and it's called countercyclical payments. The problem now is, will the budget allow us to continue with the kind of programs that we have?
And Ray warns there are people who want to change the direction of farm policy without understanding agriculture and food are different from other commodities.
The thing is, we don't have much of a way anymore to cause production to be gauged to demand. Now the question is, will we have those kinds of payments or those kinds of budget to be able to do that? Otherwise, what we'd want to do, like the rest of the sectors do in the economy, they do provide some mechanism for gauging production to meet demand and get the money from the market. Those that buy the grain and so on are really getting it at a price below what they could produce it themselves. They're getting it below the cost of production. So while the farmers get the blame for taking the subsidies, the ones that really benefit are the ones that use the grain.
Last week, Congress began holding hearings on the 2007 Farm Bill. Members of the Senate Energy Committee are receiving word this afternoon from the Energy Information Administration on the agency's energy outlook for 2006. The agency's views on anticipated supplies and prices of natural gas will be of special interest to those worrying about future trends in nitrogen fertilizer availability and price. A few more nuggets from USDA's baseline projection release. The agency expects producers of the eight major crops will plant the same acreage in 2015 as in 2006, but that an additional 4 million acres will shift into corn to meet the demand for ethanol. 3 million acres of the shift will come from soybeans and 500,000 acres each from cotton and wheat. To achieve these shifts, USDA expects that corn prices will be strong, averaging $2.60 per bushel by 2015, up from $2 per bushel in 2006. Some trade is heading Japan's way. No, not beef, but potatoes. The first ever shipment of fresh U.S. potatoes were sent last week. John Tospern is Vice President of International Marketing for the International Potato Board. He called the shipment a historic event 25 years in the making, even though it applies only to fresh chipping potatoes, which will be turned into potato chips.
Very restrictive agreement that relates only to chipping potatoes destined, obviously, for processing in Japan. It is constrained in terms of the time period of February through June. And, again, it is under a strict protocol where the potatoes are basically in a controlled environment from the time they leave the shed through to being processed in Japan.
But Tospern adds there's a chance Japan could develop into a substantial export market for fresh U.S. potatoes.
I don't want to put numbers on it right now because it's important to remember that the reason that the Japanese agreed to this, one of the reasons, is that they run short of potatoes in this time window that I described. And so this is a way for them to meet the needs of their plants. And not really, at this point, we're not competing directly with the Japanese growers because this is just the time frame when they were unable to meet the demand.
Japan is already a major export customer of processed U.S. potatoes. And that's a look at today's agricultural news.
Thanks, Dave. Dave Dickey, of course, your Director of Agricultural Programming here at the WILL radio stations. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason, the host of the Closing Market Report and Commodity Week. Up next, the 2006 Midwest Plan Service Catalog is now available. And as you'll hear, it has something for just about everyone. MWPS, the Midwest Plan Service, is a university-based publishing cooperative. It offers over 175 low-cost and free agricultural publications. The catalog is free of charge and available online at www.mwpshq.org. A print version can be ordered, too, that by calling 1-800-562-3618. Now, many of the MWPS publications are classics in ag education or bestsellers with the general public that have been recently updated. Some titles include Structures and Environment Handbook. This has everything about constructing physically and environmentally sound agricultural buildings. Horse Facilities Handbook. It includes the latest facts about building facilities for all phases of equine breeding, care, and control. And the House Handbook, guidelines there for building or remodeling your home. This book discusses everything necessary to build or remodel a house that's affordable, attractive, efficient, and adaptable. Other titles offered by the MWPS address a variety of agricultural topics such as livestock management, manure management, ventilation, construction, farm business management, and farm safety. Publications on more general interest topics are also available in areas such as home, fruits, and vegetables, greenhouses, and forestry wildlife. Some of the publications from the MWPS are downloadable, and there is a list of more than 100 free building plans available on their website. MWPS publications are the work of experts from major U.S. universities and receive stringent review by professionals in their relevant fields. For University of Illinois Extension, I'm Todd Gleason. In just about 2 minutes, I'll talk with agricultural meteorologist Don Day about the weather. Your local newscast comes up next.
With this look at AM 580 News, I'm Jim Meadows. Champaign Mayor Jerry Schweihart says he's feeling good and should be ready to resume a full schedule soon. The 67-year-old Schweihart had a small cancerous tumor removed from his right lung last week. He says the procedure and the few days he spent in the hospital didn't leave him nearly as tired as his bout with pneumonia that he experienced around Christmas. A real estate expert testifying at George Ryan's fraud trial in Chicago says the state of Illinois got a good deal on property, at least from the former governor's host on annual free vacations in Jamaica. Hugh Edwards told jurors today that another appraiser who testified for the government used flawed methods in concluding that the state paid too much under the lease. The building in South Holland was owned by businessman Harry Klein, who gave free Jamaica vacations to Ryan, his wife, and some of his supporters back when Ryan was Secretary of State. A group of community college presidents is asking Illinois lawmakers this week to restore funding for counseling services. Alice Marie Jacobs of Danville Area Community College says she's been forced to make cutbacks in staff and services ever since a $7.5 million state grant expired 3 years ago. Jacobs says counseling is a vital part of a student's education and can resolve problems that would often lead some students to drop out. Two editors at the University of Illinois student-run newspaper say they're not sorry about their decision to run several controversial cartoons depicting the Prophet Muhammad. An editorial in the Daily Illini today, however, notes that the two editors should have consulted with the paper's editorial board before printing the cartoons, which have led to rioting in some Muslim countries after they were first published in Denmark. A key Indiana state senator says he hasn't been able to reach a compromise with the Daniels administration over moving the I-STEP test from the fall to the spring. Estimates of the cost of the move vary widely. State Senator Robert Meeks fears it will be too expensive to implement this year. A coalition of animal rights groups and people who live near the nation's three horse slaughter plants are suing to prevent the Agriculture Department from providing horse meat inspections for a fee. Two of the plants are in Texas. The third, Cavell International, is based in DeKalb, Illinois. The groups allege that the USDA's plan to provide the inspections next month violates a law passed as part of the 2006 agriculture spending bill signed by President Bush. The president of the Humane Society of the U.S. says USDA is subverting the law to appease the horse slaughter industry. I'm Jim Meadows, AM 580 News.
Agricultural information on AM 580 is made possible with support from Lincoln Land Agri-Energy in Palestine, Illinois, producing a renewable fuel with corn bought directly from the farmer. More information at 800-586-2321 or online at LincolnLandAgriEnergy.com.
I'm Todd Gleason. You're listening to the Closing Mark Report. This is WILL, a Tuesday afternoon. We're joined by Don Day of Day Weather out of Cheyenne, Wyoming, to tell us about the agricultural weather forecast across the globe. Hi, Don.
Hello there.
Tell me about weather in South America. We're wrapping up not the harvest season, but at least the growing season and getting a good start into the harvest season.
Well, I'll tell you, it sounds like a broken record. We've said almost the same thing for two or three weeks in a row, and we'll probably make it four here. It appears that Brazil will be a little bit cooler than normal. The showers, the rain, a lot more commonplace with near-normal precipitation expected there, while Argentina is still suffering from some dry conditions. And temperatures there, not excessively hot, but there are some warm and dry pockets in Argentina. So it's really been a tale of two different countries and growing areas so far this season, at least in the last month.
And then if you come back to the States in the Southwest, still suffering from severe dryness?
That will continue, although there's some hope. With weather patterns changing in the West, there actually will be a few showers popping up in the forecast for even Arizona, New Mexico, and even Southern California over the next week or so. So there is some hope for a little bit of moisture. Will it be a lot? Probably not, but they may break their dry streak in some areas of Arizona.
Here in the Midwest, 55 degrees, the wheat will be wanting to come out and grow a little bit.
Well, Mother Nature's going to put an end to that, where you will see some colder weather coming our way. There's going to be quite a plunge of much colder air hitting the Pacific Northwest, Northern Rockies, and Plains states over the next several days, and this cold air will translate eastward into the Midwest and Corn Belt. While we'll get the air after it's modified a little bit, the trend is going to be downward later this week, into the weekend, and into the next week. Temperatures across most of the lower 48 states in the next 10 days will trend a little below normal, with the coldest air off to our north and west, but do expect it to cool off.
And finally, have you followed the Chinese winter enough to tell us whether they're set up for a good start to their growing season as it approaches in the next month and a half?
Well, it looks like soil moisture is going to be in pretty good shape. They really haven't had any areas too dry this winter. Some of the key areas are actually looking at some pretty good precipitation. Part of China, like a lot of Russia and a lot of the European countries, have had a pretty cold winter. That trend's continuing, but moisture has been good, and they're probably going to be getting some more over the next couple of weeks.
Don, thanks much for joining us today.
Thank you.
Don Day of Day Weather out of Cheyenne, Wyoming, joins us on Tuesday afternoons here on the Closing Market Report. Be sure, by the way, to tune in tomorrow morning at 8:49 for our first in-depth look at the day's markets with Dave Dickey. And you can listen to today's futures analysis and weather reports right there on our worldwide website. Go to WILL.UIUC.edu. Just click on AM and then Agriculture. You see, you will find almost all of the radio programming that we provide you all day long for ag programming available as a real media file, MP3 downloads, and even as a podcast. Have a good afternoon. I'm Todd Gleason.